tell you what, I can't get enough of that song. And of course, whenever you hear it, it means it's time for your favorite hockey podcast. It is Hockey the Podcast. Welcome once again to the show. Ordinarily, we're coming to you on a Tuesday. Change things around a little bit this time around because it's a very special edition of the show. And usually when we say a special edition, we kind of mean it, but then it's like an important guest or two. This time around, it's a really, really special edition. This time, you don't get more special than this edition. It's the most special edition of a special edition. With me, as always, is my partner in crime, Tyron Jabu-Barnard. Tyron, this is a big one.
Yeah, Derek, it's a wonderful pleasure to have the guests we have tonight, and it's a wonderful occasion to mark. Of course, we are recording this, so it's hush-hush right now, to just before SASCOC have released the international SA men's and women's sides that will be going to represent the country at Tokyo. And tonight we are going to talk about the teams, talk about the players, talk about the caps, and of course hear from the coaches and the captains, as well as the person whose head is often on the block when things go badly. Or things go well. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. But yeah, Derek, it's a fantastic podcast tonight. It's a great opportunity, and looking forward to hearing from our five guests tonight.
Okay, well, put us out of our... We can't wait. The waiting is finally over. Tell us, who do we have on the line tonight for this very special show?
Yeah, of course, we're going to start with the CEO of the SA Hockey Association, the CEO of SA Hockey. It is Marissa Langeni. Marissa, thanks for joining us. I know we've had you on once before when we did squad announcements in person, and we were at a golf course. But we're online now, and squad announcements have been slightly different because of COVID. But not only have squad announcements been different, so has the whole world of hockey and, of course, the Olympic Games. How have SA Hockey coped with the massive curveball thrown at them?
Good evening, Ty, and good evening, Derek. Thank you so much for having us on your show. As you've said, we've had different announcements, but this announcement is equally as exciting. And unfortunately, the backdrop is COVID-19. It's been a time which has been an unknown for many of us in the sports world, as in general life. So things have been very different. Just preparing for the games itself and deciding or trying to find out, are the games on, are they not on? There's just been so much anxiety around travel, what it's going to look like, where our team's going to be. Are we going to be able to get back our players that are based overseas? There's been a lot of balls to juggle at the same time. But we are here now. We are super excited. The team is going to be announced. And we are set to depart South Africa on the 16th of July. So as it is at the moment, it's all systems go, even though COVID still remains with us.
Marissa, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, being a sports administrator is tricky at the best of times. Could you try and just sum up how tough it's been during the time of COVID?
It's been very difficult, Derek. I mean, we were at a point where both national coaches had submitted teams for ratification last year, and we were ready to go, ready to submit our teams to the Olympic Committee. And lo and behold, we were told that the games would not proceed. So a huge halt. We all had to press the pause button, regroup, reassemble. For some players, perhaps it was a sigh of relief that maybe didn't believe that they put in enough to get the nod. But for some players, it was a long wait already to get to 2019 and then be told, I mean, sorry, 2020, and then be told you've got to wait another year. So it hasn't been easy, I must say. And having to literally press that pause button and wait for a pandemic to unfold. Neither of us had a script. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what the world would look like beyond our various lockdown levels. The teams, the preparation process, the reopening of facilities for teams to get out there and start training again, the travel restrictions that were in play at the time. I think for any sport administrator, it was probably the most difficult period. And it's just the uncertainty. I mean, there's uncertainty on a normal day, but in a pandemic, it was just heightened because, in all honesty, nobody had any answers. And for some, you know, the dream of the Olympics was starting to slip away. So when the world started to settle and we started moving from the different levels of restrictions in our own country, and we could see that also unfolding in the rest of the world, and the IOC then announced a new date for the Olympics. The FIH then announced the fixtures for 2021. You know, that glimmer of hope came back, and it gave everybody something to work towards, players, coaches, and definitely as administrators. It gave us the opportunity to bring hope back into what was a very gloomy time in our country and globally. So it hasn't been easy at all, but getting to where we are today has made it all worth it, and we can actually just proceed and go to the games.
Yeah, Marissa, you said a beacon of hope. To get hope back, there must have been some hope from you and the SA Hockey Council that developed within just seeing the way that your two national teams responded to the pandemic and the way they adjusted and changed in order to adapt. I mean, in a very different world from the one that we used to.
100%. I think we were extremely proud in the way that both our national teams have taken all of this in their stride. They've readjusted their planning. They've readjusted the ways of working of the various teams. And each coach had their own strategy in saying, how do I still get to my players? How do I still connect with my players? And, you know, we watched sometimes from the sidelines because everything was unraveling on online platforms, on social media, and it was marvelous to just actually watch the various players pick themselves up and carry on and pursue this dream and this opportunity to play on the biggest world stage. I think for us, that in itself was amazing to watch and was an inspiration to us. The challenges around making sure that facilities were readily available and were available quite quickly to the players was a challenge initially. But the minute we got through that hurdle and our initial return to play protocols were approved for the return of national players to training, I think that sparked something in our own council to say, you know what, let the national players start. Let's see what this is all about. Give them the opportunity. They are preparing for the biggest opportunity that's been given to them in the sports sector. So it was important that, you know, every part of this puzzle came together at just the right time. And I think that seeing what the teams have been able to achieve in this time of the greatest adversity globally has been absolutely marvelous to see and a huge inspiration to all of us.
Thanks very much, Marissa. We are going to bring one of those coaches on right now, and that is Robin van Ginkel. Robin is the head coach of the SA Women's Hockey Team. Rob, it obviously was a very different world. You had just played against Germany and Ireland. You were prepared for a massive series in Durban, and then the rug got pulled out of it, and you had to adjust, you had to change. Well, once we were allowed back on the field. It must have been frustrating, but also pleasing to see how players reacted.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and thanks for having us on the podcast. Yeah, Derek, as you said, I mean, we were all systems go. As Marissa said, we had submitted our teams, and, you know, we had a couple months to get ready, and with the pandemic, everything stopped. And I think in hindsight, while the rest of the world, I think, were exceptionally upset and, you know, almost ready for an Olympics, I believe that this year that we've had extra has made us a stronger team and a more ready team to take on Tokyo. So the positive is we've spent a lot more time together. When I say together, online, Zoom has definitely become our mates. But we've spent time, we've learnt about each other, the team culture, And when we could get out there to train again, there was a revived energy and a new focus to use the opportunity in the extra couple months to prepare for this year. So exceptionally difficult times, but the ability for the team to adapt, refocus, and set some new goals, we're now in the stage where it's exceptionally exciting that the team can be announced, and we're ready to take on the Olympics this year.
Robin, it's really great to have you on the show, and I'm glad that you touched on the process of adapting to the situation. Of course, that is what all people in every walk of life have had to do over the course of the last year or so. But as a coach, has it opened your eyes to, well, I suppose it's had to, given you new ways and means of extolling your knowledge onto your players and letting them take it forth? Because you say Zoom has become your friend. I mean, a year ago, I'm sure within the past year, you have learned and encountered situations whereby you would never have foreseen that to have taken place a year ago. And suddenly, I can imagine it's been a very, very different year when it comes to coaching from your side.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's been, well, most of it was online for a good 8 months. I think, if anything, the team learned was really how to embrace video analysis. You know, every player got a license, and they were able to log on and start doing video analysis personally. So instead of just as a coach standing in front or running a video analysis session, the players were doing it and interacting and actually contributing. And we wrote a playbook for the ladies team, which was all driven by the players. So really good to see the players diving in and then owning the space of what we want to get out of games and our plans, while the coaching staff work behind the scenes just to pull it all together. Then also conditioning. I mean, we were in lockdown and we had to try and stay conditioned. So I can never thank my sports scientist, Taryn Naidu, enough on being so creative, from girls working on a 2x2 meter balcony to those that could run on farms. But we had to try and stay as conditioned as possible. We had to try and stay safe and healthy, and at the same time still grow maybe our mental capacity and our knowledge of the game, so that when we did get back onto the field, we were more focused and ready to actually focus on the technical and tactical stuff.
Of course, Robin is going to be on that plane to Tokyo, but a bigger question is, who will be joining him from the playing personnel? Ty, over to you.
It gives me great pleasure to announce the squad as chosen and ratified. This is the 16-player squad that will be going. I will start with them. It features 4 centurions. It features 3 debutants. It features 1 player that played at the 2012 Olympics, 3 players who have played at the Youth Olympics, either in 2010 or in 2014, and a host of players who've played at the Outdoor World Cup or Commonwealth Games. It is a good mix of experience and youth, with an average cap of 61 per player. Here is your team. Quinita Bobbs, Lillian Duplessis, Taryn Glasby, Aaron Hunter, Robin Johnson, Shawnee Maddox, Lerato Mahole, Taryn Mallett, Lisa Marie Dietlis, Pumalela Mbanda, Edith Madikwe, even though it's spelt with an L, it is Madikwe, Kristen Payton, Celia Serrane, Nomnikelo Nikki Vito, Nicole Walraven, and Ontatile Zulu. That'll be the 16 players that are going to the games. Of course, this year it's a bit different in the sense that you are allowed to select 3 players as your traveling reserves, not 2. And these are the 3 traveling reserves for the South African hockey women: Tony Marks, Marizane Marais, and Marlies van Tonder. That is our team that will be taking on the likes of Netherlands, Ireland, India, Great Britain, and Germany in Group A at the Tokyo Olympics. I'm going to bring in the lady who is the captain, and she has a bit of a story that she may or may not share with us tonight. We'll see. But Erin, good evening and welcome to Hockey the Podcast. And first and foremost, congratulations on your selection.
Good evening, Ty, Derek, and everyone else. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, it's amazing to finally hear that I'm in the team heading off to Tokyo. Really, really excited. And just as you were reading out the names there, you know, I've got goosebumps, and it's been such a long process, as Marissa and Rob mentioned, with 2020 and then being shifted, the goals being shifted to 2021. So it's really great to hear the team and to be able to now 100% shift our focus to those 19 players and what we're going to bring in Tokyo.
Yeah, and Erin, I mean, if you look at the team, you did not know the team before this. In fact, for all the listeners, this is the first time Erin has heard the full team. She would have had her suspicions on who would be in. You must be pretty happy with the squad that's been selected. Some exciting young players, some good experience, and obviously Lisa can tell you all about what it was like back in the day when she went to the Olympics.
Yes, of course. I'm very, very excited to hear the team. And first of all, I'm very glad I didn't have to make any of the selection decisions. I think it must have been really, really tough for Rob and the selection panel. Thank goodness that fell outside of my job description. But I think that they've managed to select a brilliant team. As you mentioned, we've got some great experience, you know, with the likes of Lisa Dietliffs and our Centurions who've got a lot of caps under their belt. But then we've also got some exciting youngsters coming in. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do on the international stage and how they make a name for themselves. So, yeah, really, really cool team. And I'm looking forward to the next 58 days and working together so that we can bring the best in Tokyo.
Erin, you
yeah,
speak.
And of course, Lisa Dietliffs, I must just say, she can also tell you about the Beijing Olympic Games as well, if I am correct. So she's got good experience in those legs.
Yes, definitely.
Erin, you featured in one of our most memorable moments in during Hockey the Podcast. I spoke to you a couple of months ago, and we're talking about the pain of COVID, particularly when it comes to training, and how the relationship has gone between yourself and Robin. And during the show, Robin actually called you and to go over the latest training schedule, I suppose. I can imagine there has been a countless amount of those phone calls. I mean, how strong and how has the bond grown between you and the coach, particularly given the fact that you've had to work remotely?
It's been really, really good. I think it definitely helps that we both live in Joburg. So sometimes, you know, when the restrictions did ease up a little bit, those chats turned into a coffee, which was a lot more personal and we could get into things a lot easier. But yeah, it's been really, really great working with Rob and really, really exciting. I think we've got a great relationship. I play under him at a club level too. So we spend a lot of time together. So yeah, it's been really, really great. And I support him and his decisions with regards to the team. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with us over the next couple of days.
Rob, I've got to bring you in regarding Erin. I mean, was it always going to be a no-brainer that she would get the armband?
Yeah, since I've been coach, I mean, when I became coach, I asked Erin to captain the side, and it would be remiss to only bring Erin into it. I think the two players that I've asked to lead the team is definitely Erin as captain, but Pumi also plays an exceptionally important part in the leadership of the team. So I see us as a team. The three of us are definitely the leaders, and I look at them or look to them to help me reach our goals within the team. But working with Pums and Erin has been an amazing journey, and I'm so excited to go with them and see what we can do as a team.
Erin said that thankfully it wasn't in her remit that she was responsible for selecting a squad to go to Tokyo. Of course, you were part of that hallowed selection panel. And I mean, how difficult a job is it to make those final decisions and say to a couple of people, unfortunately, you won't be making the trip, but in the end, nailing down those names that are headed to the Olympics?
Yeah, I don't think anyone will understand how difficult it is until you actually have to do something like that. But definitely had an amazing panel that of selectors that worked with me. They questioned everything. We pulled everything apart. We tried to put players in different positions. We really put the team first and made sure that the 16 that we take to Tokyo plus the three that can potentially serve the team if there are any injuries are the right combination, the right people that will make South Africa proud. So not only from my side, but from the panel side, I believe it was exceptionally difficult, but also massively rewarding to be able to put this team together.
Yeah, and tonight we're celebrating the players that have made the team, both the 16 and the traveling reserves. But that in itself is quite a challenge, Rob, is that it is only 16 compared to a normal tournament of 18. Maybe the one nice thing is that you're allowed three traveling reserves this time rather than only two. But it is that extra bit of challenge to cut from 18 to 16.
Absolutely. I think 18 with two goalkeepers is a very different discussion when it comes to selection. I think with 18, you could almost have a couple players in more of specific positions, where with 16, you need a lot more versatility. So it is a very different conversation. But yeah, that's the rules for the Olympics, and every country has to pick according to that.
Yeah, and lastly, Aaron, before we transition to the guys, is there any specific celebration planned at home for the Christie clan, even though Hunter will be on the back of your shirt?
I'm sure my husband will have something up his sleeve to make sure that it's a very special moment. I'm not sure what it will be, but we've got, besides the Christie clan, I know we've got an event on Saturday evening at our manager Joel's house with the whole 19 that will be traveling. And I think that will just be awesome for us as a 19 who've had blood, sweat and tears put into this, for us as a 19 to be able to celebrate this amazing moment and dreams coming true. So yeah, there'll be some celebration here at the Christie household, but there'll also be some celebrations with me and my team.
Yeah, fantastic. Enjoy the celebrations. Keep safe. Keep the masks on. And I know you guys aren't allowed to drink, so enjoy the Super M chocolate milkshakes, because Robin will be watching. All right. That is the ladies team that is heading over to Japan. Of course, a country that has great memories for us, because the last time international sport was played there, the Springboks brought the World Cup home. Let's transition to the men, and let's bring in Coach Gareth Ewing-Springs. It's been a very, very tough 12, 18 months for you, challenging, traveling around the country to see your squad. And, of course, a lot of your players based overseas could not get back, even for the Namibia series, because of COVID. Would you ever have expected a challenge like the one you've had?
Tyron, it's been interesting, that's for sure. I think in many respects, as Rob has already mentioned, it probably allowed the team to grow in other directions in terms of maturity and culture. So from that point of view, positive. But if I could wind back the clock, I would be happier to have gone to an Olympics this time last year, I think.
That's an interesting take. I remember we chatted to you, Gareth, the last time I think we spoke in person was last year, looking at 2020 Tokyo. And I remember your preparations ahead of that. I mean, you were knuckling down. There's no question that you had everything down to the finite details in terms of trying to get the exact peak performance from your players before they stepped onto the field for their very first game in 2020. And that got thrown out the window. So interesting take in that you say you preferred to have gone last year. Never mind the extra year of preparation. Everything was set for last year.
Derek, yeah, I just think we had good momentum going into last year's dates. So you can't look back on things and regret too much. We've definitely made some good progress in the last year. And we'll be very happy to be going in July this year, and we'll take full advantage of this extra time that we have had.
Yeah, and of course, Gareth, you and I did chat about this during the Namibia series. You guys have closed the gap on 13th in the world, which is currently Ireland. Ireland will not be going to the Olympics. Ahead of them is France, and ahead of them is Malaysia. You know, do you as a team have goals aligned to the world ranking? Are there specific goals that you're willing to share that are your aims for in Tokyo?
Yeah, look, the rankings are something we do pay a little bit of attention to. I think we should contextualize things, you know, remembering that Ireland and France are both going to be going to a Euro Championship very soon, which could potentially widen that points gap again. But for us, it is about, for me, it's about rising up the rankings over a sustained period of time, and the Olympics is a good opportunity to do so. Obviously, that will require us to get some good results there, which puts a little bit of pressure on us, and we want to stay a little bit away from results pressure. But it is my goal to take the team into the top 10 over the next 18 months to 2 years, which is, I agree, very ambitious, but we'll start with whatever points we can pick up in Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah, Gareth, and you obviously, you've taken a team to a top 10 finish with the Junior World Cup. Hopefully you can take a team to the top 8. It's now important, though, that we find out who's in that team. And for that, I'm going to hand you over to Derek.
Thank you very much, Ty. So, the squad features 5 Olympians. They have got 6 centurions and an average of 73 caps per player. The teams that South Africa will be playing over in Group B in Tokyo, Belgium, Canada, Germany, Great Britain, and the Netherlands. Certainly a tough group, but this squad very, very capable of causing a few upsets over in Japan. So, without further ado, let's look at who will be the SA men's hockey team in Tokyo. The captain, none other than Timothy Drummond. And he'll be leading the squad featuring Rassie Peterson, Austin Smith, Mohamed Mia, Matthew Guys-Brown, Nicholas Spooner, Pibo Limbete, Jethro Eustace, Tane Payton, Clinton Panther, Sam Mvimbi, Diane Kasim, Mustafa Kasim, Nkobile Ntuli, Keenan Horn, and Tevin Cook. Traveling reserves, just as was the case in the ladies' squad, Tyson Dlungwana, Sia Nolunchungu, and Ryan Julius. And that is the 16-man squad, including 3 traveling reserves that will represent South Africa in the men's hockey competition in Tokyo. And yeah, I think without further ado, let's bring in the captain, Timothy Drummond. Congratulations on the appointment. The waiting's over. The squad's been selected. Japan awaits.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Thanks, Derek. And as Springs mentioned, that it's been a long process and a long journey for all of us involved. We constantly talk about a squad of 45 of us, 55 if you include the management and support staff. And yeah, it's obviously exciting to hear those names being read out for the first time. But also you bear thought for those guys that have just missed out. But we mentioned we're about the greatest squad, and we're going to be pushing that the greatest squad push this 16 going towards Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Ty. I know we were speaking about it with Aaron and Robin. It is always sad having to say goodbye to those that missed out. But, I mean, just going through those names, that is a stellar lineup.
Yeah, it's a very strong team that we put forward for this Olympics. And unfortunately, yeah, we're not saying sad, or it's not sad times for those guys that have missed out, because they're still a huge part of the squad. But the guys that have been selected, yeah, fully support the names that you've read out. And I really believe that this squad will do something special in Tokyo.
Tim, you were one of the 5 that were part of the 2012 Olympic Games. How much does your experience, along with the lives of the likes of Rassie Peterson, Austin Smith, how much is an impact and a valuable thing to the team?
I think it'll be hugely valuable. It's something that no one can ever take away from us. Playing in front of the Riverbank Arena in London Olympics was something that we will draw a lot of confidence from, and we had a great opportunity there to do something really good in our performances, and we just missed out on some very small margins during some tough games, and hopefully that will, that experience we can share with the rest of the squad at, in Tokyo, and yeah, we can use that to our advantage.
And Springs, the same for you. Once again, I mean, you had a lot of guys in and around your side for the recent Namibia series. You knew at that point that some of them wouldn't be in, but you must be impressed with the guys' work ethic, their levels, and the guys who are just outside the final squad, the questions they've been asking.
Tyron, yeah, this picking these 16 players and the three reserves is definitely one of the more difficult things I've had to do, and one of the more emotional things I've had to engage with as a coach. There was a huge amount of competition to make the team. Nothing has been set in stone, and we had some really vigorous conversations amongst our selection panel. So, yeah, it is tough. I'm very confident in the group that we've put together, but there are definitely guys who I feel for and have been causing me sleepless nights. So that's a huge testament, and I'm glad to have had a difficult job because it tells me that people have had to really fight for their places.
Yeah, I can imagine, Garrett, that there's no question that this is the ugly side of being the coach of a national team or of any team for that matter, but particularly when it comes to having to select names to go over to represent their country at the Olympic Games, which there is no higher honor. One man who I think you didn't have sleepless nights over is in the room right now, Timothy Drummond. Same as what I posed to Robin. Was Tim and, Tim always a foregone conclusion as to your captain?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky I inherited Tim as captain, and I'm very happy to have worked with Tim for a long time, back to under 21 days, back in 2007, 2008, 2009. So we have a good relationship. We have a respectful relationship, but Tim's not afraid to call me out when he thinks there needs to be some kind of a change. So I'm very happy to be working with him at this very high level, and he set such a great standard for the rest of the team in terms of conditioning and his moral outlook on life and the way he leads by example. So I'm really looking forward to working with him.
As we heard Robin and Aaron speak about their relationship blossom and need to adapt during COVID, I'm sure that certainly was the case between yourself and Tim.
It certainly was. We're not quite as close to each other as Rob and Aaron are. We can't pop around for a coffee, but we spend a lot of time chatting together online, and we're definitely in a good place in terms of our relationship.
Yeah, so we are excited. We can't wait. 24th, or look at me making up dates here. 6th of July? 24th of July? It is the
24th.
Yeah, there we go. 24th of July, all the action gets underway. That is your SA men's hockey team, your SA women's hockey team. Marissa, you must be very happy with the squad selected, and you must be surely excited to see the teams back on the field and once again representing the country.
We're very excited as South African hockey. I think we must commend our conveners of selectors, Ms. Jo Morley-Jepson, as well as Bruce Jacobs, who assisted to steer this ship and getting us to the final point of the final teams that we have. So a fantastic opportunity, obviously, for the players that are on that plane to Tokyo. I really enjoy what the coaches are saying, that everyone effectively knows that opening ceremony is on the 23rd of July, and between now and then, everybody has to be on their best behavior from a COVID perspective, but at the same time, ensure that they remain focused for the games. You know, in our discussion earlier, we mentioned that obviously COVID has put a spanner in the works, but there is an opportunity now with the regulations that have been in place. We've got three reserves that we can call on in the event that we need to. And I think we are ready. And as South African hockey, we wish the teams all of the best in the last phase of their preparation towards departure day. And as they prepare to enter the SASCOC holding camp prior to departure, we really wish them well. And we are here in support as the countrymen, as much as some of us has to remain behind because of the current regulations around the games. But we will be glued to every TV screen, every phone, every radio, whatever we can get our hands on to follow our team, to cheer them on, and to support them from home.
Marissa, obviously the team extends further than just the players. I know we'll reveal them all, but without necessarily giving it away, South Africa will also be very well represented by volunteers, by technical officials, and by umpires themselves.
Absolutely. We are excited. I think we have more umpires than what normally happens at the game. So when that time comes, we'll obviously reveal that panel, but extremely excited. And everyone is pulling together to ensure that they get to the game safely. They deliver the game safely. And as mentioned, we are here in support 100%.
And finally, from my side, Marissa, just having a look at the people in this discussion, the coaches, the captains, and now the revelation of the squads, are you confident that these two teams will go on and represent South Africa with great distinction and honor over in Tokyo?
No doubt in my mind, Derek. No doubt in my mind. I think that we've got a group of individuals that are here to lead and to direct the teams in the direction that we need to go in. And we know that they will always put their best foot forward. That's what we have seen up until this point, and we don't see why that would change at the game. So we have full confidence in the team that's been put forward. We have full confidence in both Rob as well as Gareth in terms of steering those ships. Aaron, Tim, the likes of Pumi, the leadership groups within the national teams themselves, we have full support and we have full faith in the delivery that they'll give us in Tokyo.
Thank you so much, Marissa. Thank you, Rob and Aaron. Thank you, Tim and Gareth. We wish you the best of luck from Hockey and the Hockey, the podcast. We'll make sure that from our side, we tell the story, but we know you guys are actually the ones writing the story. And I can tell you, we are proudly South African and behind your teams. So good luck. Make the country proud. But I know I don't actually have to tell you that.
Absolutely.
That's it, ladies and gents. That is it. That is the teams. That is the SA men's team. That is the SA women's team. If you want to replay it, go replay it. Go listen again and again. Go make it your ringtone if you really want. You can also check out all the SA Hockey, the podcast, Hockey the Magazine, and Raider Media social media accounts where the teams will be up there as well. Share it with your friends. Talk about it. Let's get behind these men and women because they're going there, and I have a feeling they're going to do something special.
Certainly so. Ty, thank you so much. Thank you very much to our very, very special guest. Thanks to the listeners for joining us once again. We told you it was a special edition. Thanks as always for joining us on Hockey the Podcast. And to our men's and women's teams, go forth and conquer in Tokyo. Cheers.